We don't need notes. In the mirror universe, no one needs notes. Notes are for the weak.
Why do you need notes to understand this?
Are you insane?
They are insane.
In the hands of an adolescent, it is a cellular peptide cake.
But Mick Frosting.
It does like you.
How you doing, Mike?
That man is bereft of passion and imagination.
Mr. Kim.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
Let the lesson begin.
Carving us up like a roast.
Oh, boy, there's all sorts of issues. Yeah. Hello, everyone. We've already started broadcasting live here on the Mycelium Network. Mycelium.
Mycelial audio.
Mycelium audio. Jason, will you make a mycelial audio, like, feral audio kind of thing? Yeah.
Sure.
And I think the last podcast, they didn't run any sort of, like, pre-roll, so I think they're done. I think... Feral is.
Oh yeah, I noticed it kind of just started.
And I forgot to put in our opening music. I was like, "What the hell happened?"
I
was
just like, "I noticed that as well."
I was just listening today. I'm like, "Wow, I just what happened to me?" I
click upload. Yeah.
My eyes like got milky white. And don't put on the opening sequence. Don't put on the opening sequence. Oh.
It's a forest.
It's a forest. Well, you, gentle listener, have come through the mushroom forest, the mycelium forest, and found yourself to salvation. You have erased the mirror network, the mirror universe network. My God, this is terrible. And you found us. We are here in the real universe. I'm Mike McCafferty.
I'm Kim Miller.
And I'm Jason McCarris.
And this... used to be a show called I Just Want to Talk About Star Trek. until we lost our tether. We lost our feral audio tether. And we have traveled to the darkness. We have traveled to the mirror universe along with Star Trek Discovery.
Mm. Oh.
We're talking about that. Here with the Doctor. Here with evil crewman Jason.
Yes.
With his evil goatee.
Yes.
Clearly.
His evil goatee. All Vulcans will have evil goatees from the Spock lineage, I guess. But we're here to talk about the Mirror Universe episode called Kim. Not called Kim, but called?
called Kim.
It's Mike backwards. Mirror Universe.
Shoot.
No, it's called...
Just fight yourself?
No, the Lone... Is it called Lone Wolf? Lone Wolf.
Yeah, I didn't write it down.
It's called Lone Wolf in the Fold. It is... Red Jack, if we remember Piglet. My God, we've just gone so many different. All right, no, it is called, I believe, The Lone Wolf, for reasons that are not 100% clear.
Yes, the Wolf Inside, I think that's
it. It doesn't matter. It's called The Wolf Inside?
I like if I actually correct
is
you.
Is it?
It doesn't matter.
The Lone Wolf.
There's no
Lone. Oh, you know what? Actually, that's something I'm actually... my managers are sending a script out. There's an animated series called Lone Wolves, which they're sending a script of mine out to.
Oh, now we can see why you were confused.
Yeah, I was like, what? It doesn't matter. It's called Intel Inside Airwolf.
The Wolf Inside is the actual.
The Wolf Inside. The Wolf Inside the Fold. That we can do.
All right.
Because the Wolf in the Fold is a Star Trek episode, as we know. Jason, you saw that one, didn't you?
I don't know if I've seen
Jack
that
the
one.
Ripper.
Well, Jack the Ripper.
Oh yes, I did see that one. Yeah,
and the guy who ended up playing Piglet in the Winnie the Pooh animated stuff.
Oh, okay, I didn't understand that reference.
Red Jack, yeah. Anyway, so thank you for listening to that really, really long preamble to try to figure out what the title of this episode was. And now,
happens when I'm rushed.
Rushed. The thing aired on Sunday. Wednesday.
It's Wednesday at 10:30.
How are you rushed?
Busy.
Busy. No, that doesn't work.
Worker bee busy.
Worker bee. Yeah.
Using my virtual glove to remove a data core at work.
Trackball in hand. All right, so let's talk about this episode. This is episode 11 of a 15 episode season. And
is it really 15?
Yes, I believe the original was 13, and then they gave him two more, I guess, because we need this episode. because, you know what? I was blown away tonight. The biggest reveal of all was bestowed upon me. I could not see it coming. Vok was Ash Tyler. Can you believe it?
I knew that was coming.
Ash Tyler wasn't the guy we thought he was all this time?
I mean, a guy who mysteriously shows up on a Klingon ship, who, you know, just like makes love to this Klingon woman. It turns out to be a Klingon. I can't believe it. It's so strange.
I still enjoyed it. Did you not like it?
No, I thought it was terrible. I thought.
Yeah, it was pretty. And not only that, I have to point out your ultimate prediction of the big finale was true, too.
Captain the Emperor. Emperor Giorgio.
Sword. Well,
she looked like, now if you ever watched Power Rangers, she looked like, what is her name? Rita from the Power Rangers. I'll post a picture. Maybe I'm being a racist. I hope I'm not. But when I saw her in this, I'm always being a racist. But she just looks so over the top and ridiculous. You know, there's nothing like, oh, you know. Don't you bow for your empress, you know, like, oh, gosh.
Well, she didn't say empress. Now, that's sexist.
Jerk.
Would she say emperor?
To stick with emperor because otherwise it would give away the fact that it was a woman and people would probably suspect it was going to be her.
Yes, this is true. In the Enterprise episodes, it was referred to, like, the gender was male. Like, if the emperor finds out, he'll be upset. They're like, so at one point in time, the emperor was a guy. So, but somehow, Emperor Giorgio has come to power. And it's a shocking revelation that this universe contains approximately 11 people. And we've seen all of them because they all show up. It's this weird kind of Christmas story, kind of Christmas Carol thing where they just kind of like show up, the ghosts of Christmas past, and they haunt us. Like, even guys we didn't see since episode 2 show up.
Oh, you mean Saru being a slave who has no name?
Well, Saru has a slave who has no name. We see Vok. We see Sarek. We see all of these people, just coincidentally, who are all together, and just Michael Burnham runs into every single one of them.
Now, was there a reason, I mean, I'm jumping a little bit ahead here, but was there a reason why Michael Burnham lied to Saru when he asked whether he'd seen his species? Or she'd seen his species on the ship. Was there a point to that, or was she just
didn't want to tell him that? Yes, and you're a slave in this alternate reality, I guess.
Well, I mean, she wouldn't have to expand on that, would she? I mean, she could have just said yes.
It's an evil universe. Like, what is
you
like?
Bathe me.
Yeah. What does she have to lose?
what did he do? Her
your ablutions.
Yeah, ablutions. You're like what? I'm going to scrub your fingernails, Jesus! I mean,
dress you.
This is so because like there's a weird like she has a weird porcelain bathtub in the middle of her ready room now, in the middle of her bath. You know, in her it's just all right. So as you can tell, I was not the biggest fan of this episode. I feel like this one took. Yes, I know. It took a couple of steps back. I mean, I guess it's exciting and action packed, but it just seems as though. They haven't earned all of these stunning surprises with 10 episodes under their belt that we're running into these same people that we've seen 3 episodes, 5 episodes ago, and then they try to drop this stunning surprise that this guy who we all knew was a Klingon is a Klingon.
Was it action-packed, though? I mean, we got 2 little sequences where they were firing guns at them when they landed on the planet. And then
missing.
Yeah, and then they had the fight between Vok and himself.
Yeah.
That was pretty much it. I mean, other than the fact that they were ejecting people into space, executing them. I was expecting and that is half of them to you know, pull a move like Princess Leia and float back towards the ship.
Oh, no. Yeah. Boy, people are being spaced all the time now, right? I mean, it's like people are like finally
spaced.
They're being spaced.
Space him.
I've heard space that before, being spaced. I'd be like, oh, we're going to space him. I think, don't they say that like in... Battlestar Galactica, I think they say that. We're going to space them. In MASH. Yeah, they say it in MASH. All right, so And you actually, Kim, hit upon the one. So we're just not, we're not even going to kind of try to go chronologically through this because we're just a big mess right
now.
We're
just smashing our foreheads against the door before we.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, and poor Lorca. I mean, Michael Burnham is like, I want to go down to the planet. And so if you don't mind being tortured for like another like 3 days, I think I can find like a little cube that'll maybe help us out. Like, what? What are you doing?
Wait, what?
He's like shivering and you know, yeah, okay, like I guess so. And he's the one consoling her. It's like, I know this is tough, but Jesus, I've been in an agonizer for like 9 days and you're taking baths. This is not tough on you.
Really?
I mean,
you're being bathed by a kiss.
Saru is exfoliating your skin and every nerve fiber in my body is being electrocuted. You can freaking do this. What the hell? I'm Mirror Universe tonight. I don't care.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right.
So did anybody else think also when they were about to space him at the end, that when she punched him in the stomach, that she was like leaving something with him, or there was some, you know, trick that was going on.
Yeah, I did. Well, that's the thing. Some real purpose to it.
It looks so ridiculous that I figured, oh, she must be like leaving a tracker on him or something, or because I mean, how did they end up finding where he was in space and beaming him on board the other ship?
Because they were able to do like encrypted communication, I guess. Yeah. I mean, it just. Yes, that was weird. I actually watched it again, and like she didn't get anywhere close to where it was dropped off in. Like, it was dropped off in a side holster, and she punched him in the gut. Mm-hmm. And so somehow she was able to, like, I don't know. That was kind
of weird.
What
was dropped in a side holster?
The little data cube, little data card that had
the card.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what it
all
was,
the information. Yeah. All right, but we can, like, so we can maybe move back a little bit if we want. I know Kim doesn't have any copious notes on this one. Because she only had an extra 3 days to watch this.
I need 4 days.
Thank God.
Three viewings.
Buy the book here.
You need at least two viewings.
So I'll tell you what. Here's the one thing that really bugged me. I know. The one thing. Here's the thing that made me kind of put everything else in this episode basically into kind of revolt. And that is right in the beginning.
Revolt.
Into revolt. It was revolting. It revolted me. It did. Is that they start out with this montage of Burnham talking about how difficult it is. And then they have somewhat innocuous scene. Well, not innocuous, but sort of a telling scene where she goes in and she beams them all into space. Beams all these traitors into space.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And she does it pretty willingly. And that just stopped me. Because I remember in Mirror Mirror, we've all seen this, is that Kirk didn't kill people when he should have. The first thing he's supposed to do is he's supposed to lay waste to that planet. And he's like, no, don't do that. Because he does value life above all else. And then later on in the episode, Saru is like, we do things, you know, we may be in a different universe, but we do things by the Federation way. Except for Burnham. She was like, okay, energize, bye. These are people who she should be saving in the first place because they talked smack about the Emperor. So from that point on, like everything beyond it just seemed like, well, who cares? I mean, she's just as bad as they are.
Doesn't it become sort of a trope, though, at a certain point where she's got to come up with an excuse every single time they're going to kill somebody in order to prevent it from happening? And then
but that's exactly what happened in Mirror Mirror, and that's what increased the tension. I mean, if she's just going along with all this stuff, then who cares? She's just as bad as they are. But if she holds on to her values as a Starfleet officer, which she should because she has the weight of killing 3,500 people or 35,000 people. I mean, at least like now that she'd be given a second chance, she should be the person who holds up the better than anyone else. And if they're like, oh, we're going to kill these people, she should say, no, absolutely. Like, I will not do that. Because ultimately, all she's trying to do is get back to her universe.
Well, it's 2018. She should be snapping necks. Not neck snapping.
Doesn't work.
Just
it
like
does
General
not
Zod
work.
Superman.
If you check out our Facebook page, I just want to talk about Star Trek Facebook page, you will see that I left some information on TV Tropes about neck snapping that we saw in the last episode. You don't die. You're paralyzed and like you're still breathing. That poor doctor be like, why did you snap my neck? What the hell, man? I just diagnosed you, man.
And as the doctor pointed out to both of us in the episode of Hot Streets, which you wrote and I was in on Sunday night, there's a neck snapping.
Yes. There is a neck snapping, yes. Yes. This is true. This is true. But that snake god is still alive. And I knew that. Uh-oh. Just paralyzed. Yes. Yes, you have a chance to check out Hot Streets. That is on next week. And on Sunday was on it premiered with Jason Mekaris playing Reverend Green. Excellent job. And Ken Miller not showing up to the premiere party.
Yeah.
Yes. It's very exciting. I was not there.
Yeah, that's the big news. But if you watch next week's episode, I wrote called The Egg, along with everyone else in the writing room. I didn't write it, just has my name on it. But it's the one that's most like Star Trek, I think. It is a very cool sci-fi mystery episode, so I think you'll like it.
Ooh,
that'll be on, I think, at 12:15. But watch the other one first. Watch Super Agent as well. So, anyways, that's my shameless plug. After 86 episodes, I get to plug that. That is good television. I get to draw a direct corollary between good television and Mirror Universe bad television. Because, now let me put this further. So now like all of a sudden, Burnham has to beam down to this crazy planet here. And what's the reason for that? She's like, oh, maybe we can, you know, we have to find out why these group of people are here. Maybe we can inspire them to do. Wait, you just beamed six people into space, and now you care about starting to.
She wanted to learn how this Klingon was able to unite the races.
Who cares? She beamed six people into space. She killed them. Like, now you want to save the universe? Oh, good. Too bad for those six people. They're dead.
So she shouldn't do anything after that? She can go back to her quarters and just sit in the tub?
Well, but like, why is there something like this on and off switch morality for her where it's okay to kill six, but if I save a billion, that far outweighs it? I mean, like,
maybe she
I know
was
the
thinking
means-
that if she. They're sacrificial lambs to get I mean, a bigger
if
mission.
You enter a universe where there is an evil version of yourself and an evil version of everyone else you know. Aren't kind of all bets off? I mean, this whole kind of, oh, we're still the Federation no matter where we are, it doesn't exist.
It does, though. It does. I mean, that's what Mirror Mirror was all about. They go to this Mirror Universe. They see that everyone there is evil, and Kirk refuses to do evil right. things. And at the very end, he argues to Spock. He says, you can make a difference. In every revolution, there's one person with a vision. And so that's
but
what
isn't
he
that exactly what she's
for.
Doing when she has that conversation with Lorca, and he's kind of like, you know, let's just get it over with. And she's like, no, we'll you know, put this alliance together, or at least see why it works, because it could work in our own universe. That doesn't
yes,
really
it
ring
was,
true with me, though. I mean, like, just because it works in this universe doesn't mean it's going to work in your own. I mean, how are you just going to you're going to go back and say, oh, well, they figured it out in that one, so we should figure it out here, and everybody will listen. I mean, just not very practical.
It was not that is a good point too, and that the fact that like there's I mean how does that transfer from one universe to the other? Oh well, Vok did that, but Vok is now I mean like so I'm gonna get Vok with my adoptive dad and some Andorians and some Tellarites, and that should make everything okay, you know, like that sort of 1-to-1 ratio didn't work.
Yeah,
and again, I still go back to the thing that like she's so interested in that, but she had no problem like executing six people. It just, I know, it's going to be my
only
thing.
Three.
I thought there were six on the pad. Were there six or?
No, I think it was like three. Four, three or four.
There were six. I saw six.
So no problem.
Yeah, if it's three, I guess that's okay. All right, I'm sorry, you guys. I apologize. You know, three is the limit
you
for being
love
okay.
Love the show now.
No, it's pretty good actually. You know, I mean. All right, so what else do we want to talk about here? I've ranted. What's tell me
so
something you guys like.
The whole scene down on the planet with all the different alien races. Did that just seem kind of half-hearted to you?
like a great
Ash
trip.
Flips out, does this shocking to the people in the scene, move, and everyone just sort of watching.
Just like
and it
watches
just sort of,
him.
Yeah.
Yeah. when it's all over, they're just back to normal pretty much.
That whole sequence was such a mess. I mean, they beam down, no one can hit them with their phasers, including guy who's like
giant
in the
cannons.
giant like stationary cannon. I guess he just sits there. We can't find the base. Well, why don't we start with that guy who's with that mounted cannon right there, who's just like standing guard over nothing.
Well, I noticed the cut from the guy with the mounted cannon thing to just like somebody else who's, you know, firing free with theirs. And there's like three or four, and they were all there, it seemed like, when we just didn't see them before. It's just the one guy with the cannon first.
They're all there.
The rest of them popped out of a rock.
I guess so. And they're all terrible shots. I mean, like, nobody hit them. I thought Burnham was going to say, like, oh, they're not trying to hit us. They're just trying to get us to surrender. But no, they just all seem to be like, you know, this is why you're losing, guys, because you can't hit two people like who are in like a valley, a ditch, this weird like quarry.
Yeah.
So they beam down and they you know do that and they lower their weapons and.
Did you enjoy seeing the weird 2018 Andorians?
I was just going to ask the same question.
Who can't act? Terrible actors, but they look really cool.
And a weird voice too. Did you notice his voice is modulated? He's like, go over there. You know, like, oh god. Like, you have to do something weird with every single alien. They're the one guys who looked actually the same. Like, the Tellarites are just, like, crazy orc pig people now. But the Andorians at least look the same. I like the Andorians, you know. And if you watch in Enterprise, Jeffrey Combs is a great Andorian. Yeah.
I don't think anyone's going to be calling them, or they're not going to be going, pink-skinned.
Yeah.
Probably not using that again.
You mean in 2018?
Yes.
Yes. Probably being racist now in 2018, even if you're an Andorian, is not going to fly. Nothing's ever going to... In fact, very few things are going to fly. You know, in probably 5 years from now, like, everything we say is going to be held accountable as being horrific. You know, it's like, I can't believe you said that, Mike. I can't believe you mocked the fictional death of those characters. You know, I mean, like, oh, God, you know. So these guys, they go somehow the most hated person in this rebellion, the second most hated person, Michael Burnham, I guess, next to the Emperor, beams down and she says, wait a minute, hold on, I give up, it's all cool, and they don't shoot her. They're like, okay, well, let's take her to the Fire Wolf. And who's okay with that name? Is anyone okay with the Fire Wolf?
They have wolves on Klingon. Klingon whole planet.
I mean, it would be like the Fire Targ or something, right? And if it's like being right. Technical, because like the Targ is their thing, but the Fire Wolf. We've got to find the Fire Wolf. I mean, this is very much like a Power Rangers episode, you know? I mean, so they take him like on this weird land bridge between the two lakes and the strange phallic looking rock.
I didn't even notice.
Oh, I was so focused on that. So if you watch, they capture them and then they walk them and it's like these like this lake split by this kind of like dirt bridge, and in the middle of it is this big, it's like this big like phallic.
You're gonna hold up some prop. Some big phallic prop.
I have it right here, this large, giant phallic prop. No, it's like this big mound of earth that sort of impedes their way to walk past, like, they have to walk around this, otherwise you're going to fall in the water. I'm like, you guys just shoot that or something. It's really weird that you have this strange, like, giant dome thing here in the middle of your walking area. Anyway, so that bugged me, because I watched it a couple times.
Can we talk for a second, too, about when... I didn't mean to interrupt you, but when they actually get captured and they're bringing them to their base, which is camouflaged, and Burnham just, you know, in a open monologue, openly verbal to everyone around her, is just like, oh, it's active camouflage, and that's why such and such... And she's, like, looking back at Ash and, like... You know those other people are right there, right?
I know. They're like, hey, shut up. Hey, we hear you saying that. She is a spy. Yeah, I noticed that too. Where she's like, active camouflage. That's how they were able to hide. Like that tent with like the fire and like the ATV outside, you know? It's like the worst base. Like, yes, I recognize that. That was like a weird thing. And then their base is the saddest base of all time. They have the CG like ruins in the background, like, oh, that's gonna be cool. Like, nope, we got a couple of tents. We have
Sheriff Joe Arpaio, Tent City.
Yeah, it's like a tent city. They've just kind of I mean, like, you're actively camouflaging that? Why?
Like, no one blends in as it is.
Honestly, if like the Terran Empire shows up and it's like they're right, oh god, look how sad they are. Oh no. No, let's leave the Fire Wolf alone. Jesus, man. I mean, because my favorite thing is that they're walking there, and first of all, they have like these weird little fire pits, which is like, I don't know why. I mean, is it cold there? Is it ornamental? No one is warming themselves by these fire pits, but they're walking past them. And then there's a lone Andorian who is next to this weird Jeep/ATV that's all like broken. It's like from the Road Warrior. And he's like trying to fix it or push it or something. Like, why do you need that? Why do you need like some weird like Jeep from MASH? I mean, it's like
recurring theme.
I'm gonna call that back, because he's there when they go in and he's there when they come out. He's like, he's working on this Jeep and like,
yeah, I saw that guy.
That guy is my hero because he's like, I'm gonna get this sucker fixed. We're gonna beat the Empire. We're gonna beat him with this. I'm gonna drive over the Empire.
I have to say though, it did
drive
look,
over the Emperor.
The scenes.
Gonna get this horn fixed.
The scenes in the tent city, though, actually looked really, like, they were beautifully photographed. Like, the shots looked really nice. Something about the camera work, I really liked when I was watching. I was like, wow, this actually looks really good. No response from either of you. Forget it. This thing is crap.
Right. I liked it more than Mike did.
You did? Okay, well, tell me why you liked it. Counterpoint.
I know it was no big surprise to who he really was, but I liked the acting. I like him when he was having his confrontation with Burnham before he starts choking her. That's fun to hear him speak Klingon. I don't know, I just like that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I like her attempt.
Like trying to do a little sock puppet thing, like, you know, I will get you.
It was also kind of convenient for Saru to rescue her, too. I just kind of, you know. A strong female character who needs to be rescued all the time.
Well, let's go back to this tent here, this excellently shot tent, which has two gigantic ventilation fans on either side, because in a tent you need to stay cool because you have fire pits outside of it. Okay, I want you
Maybe
to follow
there
the
are gases.
There are gases. I want you to explain that.
Maybe this natural planet produces a lot of gases.
Yeah.
That's why they have fires and to burn them off and around the fan.
And then a fan to draw them back in to kill them, right?
They have all these aliens in there that don't bathe. They don't have Kelpians to bathe them.
Okay.
Ventilate.
They're designed to filter out smoke and not toxins.
You stop working that in.
Yes, yes. Star Wars Force Awakens, we're still going into that. Years later, he's not going to let that grow.
Salt.
All right, so that sequence where we have Sarek show up, where we have Valk, where we have just a couple of, like, extras who are sitting there, like, mouth agape. There was one person just, like, they wouldn't close their mouth. I'm like, dear God, close your mouth. I mean, are they drawing the toxins from your mouth with those slow-moving fans? I mean, is that a helicopter in waiting?
What do you want, just a bare room then? You'd be like, oh, that looks like crap.
I'm angry. I'm angry about this. But what are we looking at? Why are we watching this sequence? What is this getting us? Oh, there's a resistance. There's a resistance of 11 guys in a tent. Again, like, the scale is so unimpressive, and they're in a, you know, why do we care about that? Why does Michael Burnham care about this? You know, her focus is to get back home. Her focus is to help her captain, who is being tortured as we speak. So, but we get these kind of, like, fan servicey things where Valk shows up and Sarek shows up and does the mind meld. A lot of people pointed out that, like, this is, as far as a mirror universe, in our universe, Sarek opposed Spock going into the Federation. In this universe, Sarek opposes Spock from going into the Terran Empire. So it still kind of holds up.
Interesting.
He had the Spock-like goatee. He's yes. like Jason like goatee.
Yes.
Evil goatee.
Evil goatee.
My Mirror Universe counterpart must be great.
I think this is the Mirror Universe. I think you're the only good person, Jason.
What?
You're bad too, Kim. You are the emperor.
Because I like this episode.
Yes. What, you like this episode?
Have you been listening? She said she liked
yes.
it.
Yes.
She said she liked the scene. She liked...
I like Ash's storyline, even though it was obvious. I still liked it. It's fun to see. That face.
I can't.
This is why you need to tune into
the face of disapproval.
To the visual end of the podcast.
Yeah, so if you go to our website, to our Facebook page, you will see this. We do a YouTube kind of live video of this, and you can kind of see us all. Like, you can see me making my faces, and you can see those two.
See Michael, angry, pinched smile.
I can't. So,
we didn't even talk about Captain Tilly.
Oh, yeah. Or anything with
trying to
Stamets.
Rescue Stamets.
Yes.
There's all sorts of interesting stuff there. I mean... I didn't mind Tilly that much this episode because she was a little more like, I'm a scientist this time, and that's kind of okay. It was kind of her specialty. I did sort of mind the idea that he died in that little cubicle, and they tried to resuscitate him.
And then they just...
And then everyone just walks away and just leaves him in a little glass coffin, you know?
That's a little weird.
I mean, what...
I guess they figured they could get one more jump out of him.
He's like a dead battery. Like, yeah, maybe we'll get one more shot out of him. Again, like the medical staff here on the Discovery is terrible. There's no one there if you get your neck snapped. Plus, like, didn't Stamets like drag him into a weird like empty corridor?
Yeah, what was that?
I was like, is this a dream sequence?
Yeah, at the beginning.
The
it was at the very beginning of the episode.
Yeah. But it's like we kind of like pan in through like the window, which is good to have like giant windows in a spaceship just in case you want to look outside. But like we go in there and he's like holding on to, you know, his lover in a hallway, and no one is there to make sure the patient doesn't do that. There's no one in the sick bay to say, oh, don't drag that doctor outside of the sick bay if you don't mind. Instead, it's some like welder, some like, you know, like construction worker, unionized person, like
unionized person.
Space union.
Space. She got spaced.
We did get to see two other medical
and then,
people.
What's that?
Remember, we got to see two other medical staff for a change.
Yes,
ran I wanna... immediately prepared to do
Zaru's bidding.
Yes, the exact thing.
Electroshock tool at the ready.
The exact thing Tilly said not to do, although Saru said, like, you know, basically, like, I'm going to let you do everything up to this point, and then, like, no, go ahead and resuscitate him, so he dies. I want to find out about that woman, like, that woman who's a doctor, had, like, two lines, like, oh, okay.
Why do you want to know about her?
I don't know, because she's someone different. All we've seen is, like, the same 11 people in two universes now. It is like some sort of like, you know, repertory company, you know. It's just, you know,
you weren't happy with the Andorians and the Tellarites. You criticized the Tellarites' appearance.
I did criticize them, but like the Andorian, I'm okay with the Andorian.
All right.
And then we have
another interesting point is, why did Tilly still have her captain's wig on if she's just back there with Stamets trying to fix him?
I thought she just straightened her hair.
I think she just straightened her hair. Yeah, I was unclear. She got a nice haircut, so she was
nice haircut.
Kind of like had a little weird fade to it on the side. Did you notice that? I mean,
mother likes it.
Oh, was that in the show?
It was in the previous episode. My mother would approve.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was okay on Tilly this. Like, my Tilly watch was okay.
You got another glimpse of Laurel boobs? I thought you'd like that.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I kind of was amused that they brought that back.
Boobs by L'Oreal. I can't.
L'Oreal.
There's no, by L'Oreal.
There's no exit strategy in my mind for that. I can't. my eyes are turning milky white. I need to escape. I need to see different universes fractaling into different universes where that doesn't happen, where she's wearing like a bra, or she's wearing like a wedding dress or something.
Why does it bother you? Wedding dress?
Well, no, it's infinite universes. I can you know, see whatever I want, you know.
All right.
Wedding dress.
Why does it bother you so much?
We don't need it. We don't need to be. What? I mean, who is Ash Tyler redeemable at this stage? I mean, I feel like they're going to make him redeemable because they didn't kill him.
Well, I'm wondering, is the real Ash Tyler then? If he is Bok, really, they shrunk his body to a human, right? Or am I getting it wrong?
I think they basically
is human. Whatever, over this.
Yeah, I don't know. They didn't transplant him into a human. They just reduced him to human, right? Is that what he said?
But he's basically a Klingon, but they turned him. Where did they get the Ash Tyler personality? Isn't there a dead Ash Tyler somewhere in our universe?
In our universe. I don't know. I still don't think anyone understands, including, I mean, maybe the writers. Who knows? Maybe they know exactly what this is like.
Well, I didn't watch the After Trek this week, so I have no idea what their take on this.
They're jackasses.
Oh, good. Yes.
Actually, I haven't watched any After Trek.
After Trek FM, bunch of jackasses. All right, so I have complained about the beginning. I've complained about the middle. Let's see. Now, I was sort of okay with Stamets like talking to his mirror universe self in this kind of weird mycelium forest. I was like, okay, that's fine. I can kind of do that. It does become sort of magic, you know, with these sort of prophecies.
What did he say? Well, it's about time. Now let's get to work or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of okay.
Are we still going with the theory? I forgot. Jason brought it up last week that Lorca is from the mirror universe.
Oh, I think he 100% is. I mean,
I was looking out for that this week.
Well, didn't you see, like, at the very end when Emperor Giorgio shows up and said, like, you know, don't you bow for your emperor?
Yeah, and smiles.
Lorca has this kind of smile, this kind of knowing smile. So I don't know if there's another reason that makes sense at this point in time. And I'm fine with it. I think
for that smile?
Well, for everything that he's done.
Okay.
I mean, he plotted this course.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's been
and
this
then
weird...
And didn't admit to it, yeah.
Yeah. He knows so much about this universe, or he's willing to go along with all this stuff. And the fact that this universe's Lorca disappeared, it just... If it's not that, then they're fooling the audience for reasons that I don't understand quite yet. Maybe they're trying to do a double or triple cross on us, which will then feel unsatisfying in that. At least with this, I'm like, okay, this makes sense. I mean, even like to be honest, even the Vok thing, if they would have like clued us in earlier, it would have been fine.
Clued you in earlier.
But the fact, well, if they would have come out and said, like, episode 2, I'm Vok, you know, like, of Ash Tyler's life, that would have been more interesting to me, because then we could have seen the execution of his struggle as opposed to this supposedly jaw-dropping moment, which was not, which we all figured it out. There was a bunch of articles, I don't know if you guys saw it, that came out, like, right after this episode dropped, where it's like, you know, Discovery, you know, Discovery cast members talk about the stunning surprise of Vok, or, you know, Discovery producers talk about the stunning surprise. It was a lot of media outlets which had sort of the same headline, because obviously it was like a PR release, you know, where they're all like, oh, when this comes out, we want to make sure that all the press knows about this. But I don't think anyone was surprised, but this, the machine had kind of carried that forward and said this stunning surprise, when in fact it really wasn't that much of a stunning surprise.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, maybe I'm getting tired now.
It just kicked in.
Here, I think we've talked about this before. I think we are at the death of serialized storytelling, where you can have a giant surprise like this without us all knowing about it or guessing it out. You know, it's the West World, it's the Game of Thrones, where there's just too many people working too hard to figure out what the surprise is. So you can have a surprise within an episode because you're taking on this linear path where it's like, in the beginning it's this, and at the end, oh my gosh, I was really surprised by that. Or you can just reveal the surprise, which I think would have been more satisfying. You know, episode 2 of Ash Tyler, where it's like, I'm actually Valk, and I'm struggling with being a human, I'm struggling with being a Klingon. To me, from a narrative standpoint, that's far more interesting. Otherwise, they're keeping a secret that we already know.
I don't know that we're beyond serialized television being able to surprise people and have, you know, shocking things happen. I think it happens all the time. If you look at, like, the best television shows, like Breaking Bad was able to do it, consistently surprised me in their storylines and what they were coming up with.
Well, but Breaking Bad wasn't predicated on having these sort of mystical stories or these reveals.
Oh, absolutely it did. Because, I mean, they even would, especially towards the latter seasons, they would tease and show you a glimpse of the future of him, you know, in the diner before things, you know, and you were like, what the hell happened in this last year that made him look like this? And then you'd have to kind of go back and tell the story.
Well, but Breaking Bad started 10 years ago. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I think we're at the end of that. I think now that people are going to be working, you're using on reference, but like that scene was probably 5 years ago. And mm-hmm. my point is that I think we're at a point in time where people are just working. It's all over. It's all over. And I don't think shows like this should try that hard for it. I think what they should do is reveal it so that we can follow along with it as opposed to being surprised, or drop it like in Netflix where it's going to be like, here's all the episodes. Mm-hmm. Watch them all at once if you want, or watch them whatever rate you want. Or just say, hey, everybody, there's going to be a big surprise. If you don't want to know it, don't pay attention to the media. Don't pay attention to, you know, social media.
It's less
social media.
You hear
everyone, there's going to be a big surprise. Kind of
less social media and more like Reddit and message boards and people who are really delving and kind of hive-minding this sort of stuff where they're like, oh, figuring out little bits and pieces and going building on it and figuring it all out.
Yeah, I guess if they dare you with a mystery...
I mean, look at Game of Thrones, too. I mean, I think there's a certain amount of people who... There's big elements that people have guessed, but there's also a lot that they have not figured out, of this past season, at least.
I mean, yes, I think a lot of people kind of guess out some of the larger parts. Then there were a couple of nice little surprises. But again, with Game of Thrones, to me it feels like it is in the execution that we see on a weekly basis. Now, there are a lot of people now who are like, oh, who's, you know, this person's father and mother, and... To me, that was never that interesting. It was just this kind of like dangling thread of, okay. I mean, I'm waiting for the, you know my problem with that. When are the White Walkers? When are the goddamn White Walkers and get that wall? It's been 6 years.
But isn't this a small percentage of the audience that you're talking about, these people that seek out?
Small percentage of the audience.
I don't. You guys do.
I'm not pointing at Mike. Oh.
You mean the right percentage of the audience?
One third, apparently.
One out of three people want to know these answers.
The Star Trek subreddit.
Yes.
I think most people don't go and hover over their Twitter and Reddit and all these message boards and be like, oh, I want to know what's happening.
Oh, I think they
figure
do.
Out all the guests. I think they do. But I think it's a small percentage.
Well,
there's an obsessive fan base that's into it.
Oh, yeah, just like, I mean, with Rick and Morty, and I mean, there are people, I mean, and in some ways it's great because the engagement is wonderful, and it's like, people want to be such a part of these things, and so they follow it so fervently, and that is admirable, but unless you are an absolute genius and you can hide this so well, you know, your options is that people are going to figure it out very quickly, and then you're going to have these episodes which are going to be like, well, we know, or you just give it away and you say, hey, I'm a Klingon and I've got to hide it. You know, a lot of what we saw in Breaking Bad, we had already known what the secret was, which is that Walter White is, you know, making drugs. He's, you know, cooking meth. And we follow that through without anyone else in that world knowing that.
Problem
like Hank.
Solved.
That's a good point. That is a cool aspect of that show.
But I also think that it's also in the telling. I mean, it's so much in... Don't Hulk it, Nick, pitch me.
You and your theories will fall before Kalish. and he, I will destroy you.
How do you know the ancient tongue?
Oh, some of that dialogue in there.
But also it's in the telling. I mean, and when we're watching this series and you see Lorca captured, and then they're sending, you know, Vok on a mission, and where he disappears completely, and then this new character just happens to show up, and who needs to be boarded on this ship. There was something that was so ham-handed about that. It's like, well,
yes, yeah.
There's something wrong with this picture. One of these characters disappeared, and then somebody reappeared mysteriously that we've never heard of before. So, I mean, well, it doesn't take a genius to put that together, that there could be a correlation there.
Well, yeah, you're right, and it was a very one-to-one, you know, exchange. I mean, Laurel said, like, you know, you will have to make the ultimate sacrifice. He disappears, and then Ash Tyler shows up, and like, where'd you come from? Like, right. Oh, the Klingons, they switch out prisoners from time to time. They do? I mean, yeah. what is this? Are like, changing air fresheners? I mean, what is that?
Oh, I wish Lorca had just gone, they do?
I didn't know that.
That's weird. But if the whole point was to put a Klingon operative, I guess, in Starfleet, why didn't he just blow away Lorca as soon as he saw him and do a lot more damage than he did? He didn't do any, did he?
No, yeah.
What do you mean? You mean Ash? Or?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Why didn't he kill...
Well, he didn't do any damage, is the Doctor's point.
Was his purpose of being transformed from Klingon to human, what was the point of that from a Klingon perspective?
Well, I don't know. I mean, like, what is it? I mean, like, he sort of gave it away in this episode, but...
Well, he didn't really know who he was, too, which is like that, what a terrible plan.
Like, steal the spore drive or to...
I'm going to send you on a mission where you're going to, you know, gain intel and possibly kill the people on this ship, but you're not going to remember who you are or what you're doing or why.
Perfect. Go.
The perfect plan.
He's like really terrible Klingon Jason Bourne, you know? It's like, we're going to wipe your memory, make it look like someone else, put you on a ship and not tell you what you're doing there, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Go.
Jason Bourne.
That's exactly what it is.
You're right, it is. It's a terrible plan, and this is why the Klingons are losing. I mean, because they have this great thing that it's like, oh, this can make you invisible, but instead we're going to, you know, put you on this ship. Well, I mean, I guess they're doing both, so. Yeah. It is a very muddy plan, and it could be possibly, I still feel as though some of this is maybe mopping up from the original showrunner, Brian Fuller. You know, this is probably still snippets of what he was trying to do. At least I'm hoping. And when the season's done, they'll have a fresh start. But I don't know. I mean, anything else we want to go over on this one? Or?
Hit the wall.
Wears me down. It's Mirror Universe. Can we talk about Lorca's level of pleasure and pain throughout this series? Because he has been tortured in two universes.
And the level of the southern accent as well.
Yeah, that really comes and goes, doesn't it? That's really...
It's kind of
like... He had like a Texas accent or something. That, you know, it's been present through the series, but today it was especially sort of heavy.
It's... He engages the southern drive every once in a while. And, I'll just go back to this again. Where Michael Burnham is just like, I don't know if I can do this. And her shaking, like, scarred captain, like, reaches his hand over, trembling, and grabs her hands like, you're not alone. I'm here and being tortured constantly. Jesus Christ, get the information and let's get out of here.
Kim, has we've lost Kim.
She's Vulcan playing
with a cat.
No. Isis, no. Not the terrorist. The cat from Assignment Earth.
Yeah.
All right. So so then we have, you know, they're trying to figure out what to do. They get, you know, they beam Ash Tyler over with the information. The only way they could get it over. Where is the Discovery? Where is it? Where is it?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. I thought what she was beaming him into the Discovery, not really into space.
If you can beam him into space, and then they can beam him out of space, couldn't they just... Where is the Discovery? Is it cloaked? It's not cloaked, is it? What the hell is it?
I think didn't Lorca say stay nearby?
By the robots.
I know you like that very much. I thought Lorca had said make sure you stay nearby so we can beam you out of there as soon as possible.
But is it just like, are they saying like, Captain Burnham, by the way, you know, the Discovery is like lingering around us. I just want to say that. It's just hovering there. Just And weirdly enough, their transport is activated right after we beamed out Ash. But, maybe that's just me.
Don't question me. Agonizer. I want someone to have a portable agonizer. I haven't seen that. Your agonizer, please.
No, Mr. Spock, no. Mr. Kyle, your agonizer. I think we talked about this. It's probably a 23rd, or it's probably coming up. It's probably coming up in the next 10 years.
Right now they're really big, but in the future they're going to be a little boop.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like 90s.
Well, in the Enterprise episodes, which neither of you have watched, because I only gave you. What did you watch? Did you watch it, Kim?
I watched it when it first aired. I haven't watched it.
Oh, my God. Doesn't work in that universe.
What were you saying?
I was saying that in the Enterprise episodes, they had just kind of, I think it was, who was the doctor? Dr. Peter Billingsley. No, what is his
British
name?
Guy.
No, not him. No, the alien guy. I can't remember the character's name, but the doctor on Enterprise, who's an alien, he had figured out how to do the agonizer, where basically it rotates all the nerve endings. So, like, as soon as you adapt to it, like your body adapts to it, it rotates to a new set of nerve endings. Ooh. It's terrible. It was really an interesting scene. But that was like 100 years ago. So there's going to be a big jump in technology in the next 10 years. So we'll see that.
Buy Agonizer stock now.
Yes. Dump your Bitcoin. Get into Agonizer, all right? All right. So finally we get Emperor Giorgio.
Mm-hmm.
And she flies in her capital ship, her cloaked capital ship over. To the, I don't know what she's. She flies over there to blow up the bad guys, to blow up the Fire Wolf, and yell at Captain Burnham.
Yes, and blow up all the little encampments around this planet. So it's not just the one little tent city.
I guess. I mean, it's just, you know.
Or they're just trying to blow up everything to make sure they get
them. That's why they have the ATV to go between encampments.
That Andorian is safe right now. He's right. The last member of the Resistance because he's just like, I mean, these should be like MASH units, mobile army surgical hospitals. They should be able to bug out and get someplace else.
Work MASH.
Bug out.
407 you tell them to watch it on MASH. Bugging out. Oh, yeah, they had that marathon now the past few days and I kept getting sucked into that vortex.
I don't know why MASH is coming back, but I'm enjoying it. I really kind of dig it.
I've still never seen it.
What?
Nope.
I'm sorry, what?
Never seen MASH.
You've never seen an episode of MASH?
I've never watched an entire episode. I mean, I've seen it on television in my life, but
well, that's where you'd see it, is on television. What is going on here, Jason?
Mirror Jason.
That is a good surprise.
That is in passing, not like, you know. I'm not tuning in.
We've known Jason since the late 90s, and we've never heard this before.
We've never heard this.
Never watched MASH.
Our friend Matt Stompy Thompson does Alan Alda impressions all the time, and Jason chuckles along, but he...
I know who Alan Alda is.
But he's famous primarily for MASH.
Yes.
But Jason...
I'm aware.
He made the ultimate sacrifice. Everyone, listen to me carefully about this. This is how you hide something. He has been embedded for years in our operation.
You see, you can still be surprised in a serialized relationship.
With that, yes, that is a good reveal. Yours is a good reveal. I am stunned by that.
He's been embedded.
You are the MASH Vok of this. This is outstanding. This I can't believe you've never seen MASH. This is phenomenal.
It's a Turkish spy.
I mean, I'm aware of the characters. I'm culturally aware of everything. I've just never watched it.
Why?
You're aware of the characters.
Well, I know Radar. I know Hawkeye. I know, you know, all the actors and stuff. But
how come you never watched it?
I'm aware of Trapper John, M.D.
No.
Too much Designing Women.
I've seen every episode of Designing Women.
So. Turned away from it.
Wait till you're Designing Women Con.
You watched Hello Larry instead.
I watched Hello Larry.
Oh, I did too. It had a good theme song, by the way.
Oh my God.
You watched After MASH.
He watched Golden Palace, but he's never seen Golden Girls.
Oh, no, I've seen every episode of Golden Girls.
What? I don't know you at all.
I've never seen Golden Girls. I've never watched a full episode of Golden Girls.
Are you serious?
What?
Oh, don't even start that. Stop it, you two.
That is, yeah. I mean, I can't believe that.
I've seen parts of it, but, I mean, what?
It's just because I'm a lot younger than you guys.
Oh, no.
MASH passed me by. I was only, 4 years old when it came out.
I don't believe that.
Lies.
those reruns, too. The reruns.
Beam you into space.
Well.
Space you.
Yeah, we got to space you now, Jason. So you have committed space capital me. Crimes. Against the 4077th.
Oh, God.
We are going to...
MASH Vogue.
We're going to Colonel Blake you and have you die in a plane.
Oh, now you ruined one of the best scenes for him. You'll never watch.
He doesn't know who it is anyway.
True, I have no idea.
Exactly, so it's... It's because they hated that guy. We should do like a MASH podcast. I think we said this before, but we should just really like dive into that and just make Jason watch all the MASHes now. Like, oh, we're changing it now.
Like 11 years or something? 10, 11 years.
Yeah, it was like 11 years. But I mean, like hour-wise, it's probably about the same amount of hours if you were to watch like a whole season of Next Generation. So, I mean, our whole series, like... Yeah. No, it's fine. He doesn't have to watch MASH. It's fine.
You have to watch the animated MASHes and then read all the books.
Yeah, I have to watch the...
my screen named in MASH Vox.
MASH Vox.
Those should be asterisks.
That's a good point.
Yes.
MASH apologist.
All right, so let's wrap this up here. We went off
what
the rails. We're
when
off...
I don't have notes.
No, I think this episode was the best because I had the fire. I was the fire wolf tonight.
You're the Andorian fixing the buggy.
Man. I mean, do people, I mean, if you listen to this podcast, you hate this. Do you hate that I don't like this episode? You know,
yes.
I've been watching with my
kid. You know
kid.
You all agree with me.
That's yeah, quick, if you agree with them, that's fine.
Quick update on Kiernan and next time.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Kiernan has plowed through, I'd say maybe like 50 to 70 episodes of Next Generation. He's even rewatched a couple. I think he watched Future Imperfect and Frame of Mind, both Riker crazy episodes.
Frame of Mind again.
He did. He loves it. He loves those crazy ones. And then he said, Dad, are there any ones in the original series that are kind of like mystery episodes? Like, oh, my son. Because I actually showed him some of the Finnegan fight sequence, which he thought was the funniest thing. And it is. It's the best. Watching William Shatner run as fast as he can. Like in TV and film, like you don't run as fast as you can. You run gracefully no matter what. Like I've run a couple times as fast as I could. And you look pained. It looks ridiculous. And Shatner runs really, really fast, like down a hill. And it's really,
not
he
like
tries
Saru.
To stop. Saru. Yes, it was Saru. Maybe Saru looks graceful. He looks like a gentle gazelle running.
Finnegan makes me think of, I saw a kind of a funny bit on Reddit this week. I don't know if you caught it. But somebody had posted this thing about the sequence at the beginning of Terminator 2 with the nuclear blast, and that scientists had credited it for being very accurate and wrote James Cameron or wrote the film.
Oh, and yeah, yeah.
Somebody posted another posting. It was like that the fight with the Gorn was very scientifically accurate, and scientists wrote the show. They posted the video. It was a real long route to the joke, but it was pretty funny.
I thought they were actually being serious. I'm like, really? Wow, that seems terrible. I mean, I didn't realize where that joke came from, but now I get it. That's very funny. Because that was like a really.
I mean, come on. I watched that video. I was like, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. This camp scientists could not have written the show. And then as I read through the comments, somebody pointed out that this was a deep callback to that other thread.
Oh yeah, it was. I mean, it was fun to see that, like, you know, the original series like hit the top, you know, the front page. But yeah. I was like, this doesn't make any sense.
It was the Gorn.
Yeah. Oh, and here's another thing too, is that a couple days ago I actually played for the first time Star Trek Bridge Crew with other people.
Not just sitting in a room talking to me.
This is, yeah, not just sitting in the ready room like talking to Jason and then saying, well, we don't have enough time, let's go. It was the most stressful game I played. It hit all my social anxieties.
What?
Well, because I got in there, and you know, it's like, okay, let's play. And it's like, I haven't played this before. Like, my kids have been playing it, and they're having a fun time. And Kiernan's like, yes, sir. No, sir. Aye, sir. And so I'm in there, and I can't hear the captain. He could, like, they, no. I'm like, oh my god, like, say again, sir. And then they're like, you know,
like that.
I'm like. So, and then finally they're just like reduced because I'm in helmsman. They're like, left, turn left, 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 left. I'm like,
oh, jeez.
Like, they won't even call it aft or starboard, you know? Like, they just, you know, they just say left, turn left. You know? Yeah. Like, I'm some sort of student driver. It was so terrible. We finished the mission, but not, and no thanks to me. I was, you know, piloting through spatial anomalies. I hit an asteroid. The only thing I could get was full stop because there's a button that says full stop. I'm like, aye, aye, full stop. And then I could stop the ship. So it was so stressful because they're all like mocking me. And I'm like, I have a podcast. I write TV shows. I you can't make fun of me.
Well.
But they did. Yeah. Well, you guys can make fun of me, but.
You flew to it a spatial anomaly.
I did find it. Well, I had no idea. I mean, yeah, I just kind of flew through it, and I didn't realize the spatial anomalies like drains your shield. And they're like, get out of there, go left, left, left. I'm like, okay. I had no idea what was going on half the time. And then, like, I had flown so much into the spatial anomaly that the whole bridge was on fire. And the best part about it is, and I know Jason played it a couple times, is that the bridge can be on fire and there'll be like open flame and like no one does anything about it. Like, people are still just like working, and like there's like this Vulcan who always says, like, you know, aft shield's down 35%. Like, hey, dude, you kind of,
it's like a social experiment. Who will actually acknowledge that there's a fire in the room?
These guys are really well trained because they do not let anything bother them. But yeah, it's really weird. Everything is like sparking and smoking, and there's flames. There are flames.
How if do you if put it's in like. Is there a fire extinguisher?
I think the engineer can like do like an engineering, like he can like put power to fix stuff, but that doesn't explain how the fire goes away.
You know, well, they have extinguishers built into the system, so they just spray them and put them out. That's my.
Does that happen? I didn't see that.
I'm just making that up.
They should, because every console on the bridge explodes.
Person to flames.
Person to flames.
Need some very large, slow fans to into it.
Zhong, 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 zhong.
That's cool.
What are you doing here, Michael Burnham?
Kalish.
Kalish. Hey, should we let this guy fight with our leader for a prolonged period of time, or should we intercede?
Nah, just stand back and watch. It's cool.
Let's see how this plays out.
Kill him. That's what I don't understand. How does he? I mean. He's got him on the ground, and Burnham intercedes, and it's like, it's just, it's just stupid.
Yeah, there were several times that Ash should have died there, and he did not. And so Michael Burnham also, let's just, it's like 2 days, she's 2 days in this Terran Empire, and we have this scene where, like, I guess they made love. Did you, like, catch that, like, in the opening scene? First of all, she has this little sexy negligee on, and then, like, he's, like, with no shirt on, like, holding her from behind, and it's like, well, maybe a little sex will calm us down here, you know? And again, meanwhile, Lorca is having every nerve, like, set aflame, you know? And she's waiting for her bath, you know? It's just, it's so...
Oh, maybe my cheeks hurt.
I am your agonizer. I will destroy your cheeks.
Oh.
All right, we should call this a night here. Thank you for listening. Make sure you do something. Leave us a review on iTunes. How about that?
Make sure you do something.
I should do something.
Do something?
Do something. I don't know where this podcast is going. I honestly don't know if, like, the spigot will be shut off and suddenly you won't be able to access these podcasts. I don't think so. I'm in talks with the people that this is hosted on. And I don't know if I'm going to have to pay for it, or I don't know what's going
to
happen.
More importantly,
so
what will happen to our CBS All Access login?
I don't know. I mean, we have to bleed out Farrell for at least another former episodes.
Or if we have to sign up and pay for ourselves, we must get commercial free version.
Oh my gosh.
Commercials are maddening.
Take so more bad. Of those tomorrow commercials. The one that goes nowhere, because the whole point is, you know, these older folks are having arthritis pain or diabetes or something, and it's like, we'll do it tomorrow. And then the end of the commercial was, you know, he's talking to his granddaughter, and he feels so much better, and he's like, why don't we do it tomorrow? And it's like, well, what changed here?
I know. It's so
I hope
weird.
You feel better because you're still doing things tomorrow.
Podcast about the commercials.
I would. I mean, there's so many of them. Although last week they were so bad, like, that's where everything froze up on the commercials. Like, are you kidding me? Like, everything would buffer during the commercials, and then actual episode would run fine. It was a reverse. So,
it's a reverse. The conspiracy that I've presented before about the commercials just always playing smoothly and the content, you know, getting hung up.
I remember. And then, like, last week, I had so much issue with it during the commercials. It's CBS All Access is such a disaster. There's nothing good about it. There's nothing redeemable about it. And I think you pointed out, too, that all the Star Trek episodes are in lower definition.
Oh,
are they?
I think so. Maybe I'm wrong. Like, yeah. I think someone said, like, it's kind of a mess. But in 4 weeks, we won't have to worry about that. All right. Well, thank you very much. Thank you for listening to this rant. Thank you for all the shock that you received to find out that Jason has never watched a MASH.
Oh my God. That's shocking.
Yeah, I don't know what to do about that.
I'm speechless.
Well, we'll have to have a trade-off where you watch some Golden Girls and I watch MASH.
Oh, I don't know.
Golden Girls is classic. Classic situation comedy.
That's true.
Can't rep. Well, so is MASH. MASH is, you know, I mean, maybe we'll just meet in the middle in WKRP in Cincinnati. Maybe that's how
I've seen all the WKRPs.
Yeah.
Dr. Johnny Fever.
What about the new WKRP in Cincinnati's?
Oh, I remember those too. That was pretty bad.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Yeah. But they had most of the cast back, didn't they?
I think so.
Yeah. Maybe we should go back and watch those. Maybe they weren't as bad as we
thought. Maybe this podcast should just end and be a WKRP podcast.
Oh, boy. God.
I can watch that. That'd be pretty good. All right. Thank you very much.
Titles.
What's that?
So we'll come up for a title next week for our WKRP podcast.
Well, we're going to launch a whole new network. We're just going to be us talking all the time about all these, you know, shows that no one cares about. Except for Discovery, which everyone cares about. Seemingly, except for me. No, I can't watch. I care for you, the listener. That's what I'm doing. I'm actively caring for you. I'm watching out for you. I'm guarding you.
Active camouflage.
I am actively camouflaged. But I am Mike McCafferty.
I'm Kim Miller.
And I'm Jason McCarris.
And I just want to talk about...
Star Trek!
Question mark?
Destruct sequence completed and engaged.
Don't you understand?
error, flaw, imperfection.
When the train comes in, everybody rides.
Blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah,
blah. No, blah, blah, blah!
Say Seinfeld was on an island, yeah, and he was blowing Boris Karloff. What would that be like?
And it might go something like this. Oh, Mr. Karloff, I loved you in Frankenstein, and I love giving you a blowjob. Why, Mr. Seinfeld, I love having you